Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
At 12:45 today, the Grant and Danny Movie Club. We will break down Bad Boys 2. That was the film we chose to watch last night. We'll also pick a movie for tonight. The category will be romantic comedies. Our Beltway Blitz set to kick off on G&D. A quick reminder, starting tonight, 6:30, every single evening moving forward, weekdays at 6:30, you'll be able to hear one of the games from the Nats' magical run to the World Series. It begins with their wild card win over the Brewers this evening. 6:30, first pitch, and you'll hear the broadcast in its entirety right here on The Fan. We're excited about that. Let's kick off the Blitz on the gridiron. J.P. Finley of NBC Sports Washington. J.P., I want to start with what the Redskins have done. He's going to join us in just a moment, I guess. Thomas Davis, who is the 36, soon-to-be 37-year-old linebacker, was signed yesterday. They have now added three linebackers, if you count John Bostic, who's been retained and re-signed by the Redskins on a two-year deal. Kendall Fuller's the bell of the ball, the $10 million a year, $40 million contract for the corner. And then they got some offensive line depth in Wes Schweitzer to come over from Atlanta. So far, Danny, some very minor small moves outside of Fuller for Washington through 2 days of free agency.
Yeah, depth signings, right? A guy that you're going to have as a special teamer, a swing guard center who struggled at times. I mean, he did make in the upper 30s of starts in Atlanta, but ultimately, you know, they were happy to move on from him. And then you add in Thomas Davis, the guy that we kind of talked about as the culture setter helping implement Ron Rivera's program.
I think the next move they've got to make is to try to get a tight end or a left tackle. And I don't know that necessarily there's a left tackle you can sign. You may have to trade for that guy. Now, Trent Williams is going to be moved for a draft pick. We don't really know what they'll be able to net. I'm giving up hope on a second. That's still best case scenario. Ideally, they get a third. It might be something like a fourth round pick, and I'm going to be furious at Bruce Allen. But have you looked at the left tackle market lately? There was basically nothing there that you would trust to protect the blind side of Dwayne Haskins in a must-have season if you're trying to continue his positive trajectory from the last two games of last year.
You're basically looking at what you did last year. It's the Donald Penns of the world, right? Andrew Whitworth of the Rams and Greg Robinson, who just got popped with a million pounds of pot, and you know Jason Peters, who will be 39 this year. It is a thin marketplace for sure.
He's Danny. I'm Grant. This is The Fan. All right, let's move along on the Beltway Blitz. Nick asked you to talk NBA and the Washington Wizards. Nick, when play resumes, how do you think the NBA is going to handle the end of the regular season and the playoffs?
I've seen reports now, guys, that they're talking about still doing a 70-game schedule and starting up in June. It's interesting because we've had this conversation about the NBA starting their season in December anyway, and you wonder whether this is going to be something where down the road they decide it kind of shifts the whole calendar and then that becomes what the season is. I don't know, like, this is a weird thing. Like, you know, we always have opinions on this stuff. This is what we do in this business, and this is just something so unique and so weird that we really don't know where this is going to take us down the road. I think the NBA is going to try to get as many regular season games in as they can once this hopefully settles down soon. And then you get into whatever it is with the normal playoffs, and maybe the whole future calendar is shifted. But I mean, as we know, this whole thing's fluid. Everything could change for the better or for the worse moving forward in the next couple of weeks.
How long will they need to kind of get back up to speed? It's almost like having another training camp, but after you've played 60 games.
Yeah, that's the interesting thing, really, is that you got to, I mean, you hope the guys are still keeping themselves in shape, right? Like, I know we've got Trae Young just like having a 3-point contest with a trash can in his house, but hopefully these guys are actually out there really working out and keeping themselves ready to go. But maybe like a week or two of like an abbreviated camp and you kind of get back on the schedule, but you're going to have to take some time to still get these guys ramped up, because as much as you want to say they're working out and they're getting themselves in shape, it's nothing like actually being in game shape. And the only way to be in game shape is to bare minimum have practice games to then get to that point.
The Wizards' schedule is going to be abbreviated like everybody else's whenever this comes back. And we had Craig Lachlan on the show yesterday for his weekly appointment, and he talked about the possibility having been raised that maybe they won't crown a Stanley Cup champion this year. And it's something that, as he correctly pointed out, would break hearts and shouldn't be the case. Do you think that that's viable, though? Is there any chance that we just won't have a winner at the end of this season in an NBA postseason?
I really think the NBA is going to find some way, if bare minimum, they just go right to the playoffs or have like a week or two of the regular season. If this really gets pushed in the middle of the summer, it would be really difficult for them to just say, well, the season's done. But, you know, again, it's not like there's any precedent that's really been set for a situation like this. So I feel like everything is on the table. And I'll tell you this, I'm just glad I'm not one of those decision makers, because it's a whole lot more difficult to be in one of those positions where you have to decide all of these things that are going to be, no matter what, historic decisions for just the sports world, let alone everything else that's going on right now.
How does this affect John Wall's calendar? I mean, if they push him back in the late summertime, might it be worth him coming back for a game or two? Because, you know, we're not planning on seeing him for this regular season, but if we're now moved back by months, might that change something, Nick?
Yeah, I mean, Kevin Durant has come out and said that no matter what, I mean, obviously now he also tested positive for coronavirus, which is a whole other thing going on, but he's not coming back from his torn Achilles this year, even if, you know, let's say they played the finals in August. I would assume the Wizards would approach it the same way and give it just a normal, let's have a full offseason, whatever that offseason looks like, and whenever that offseason is, to allow him to fully get back and get worked in with the team. I don't think they'll change that. Their stance has been he's not coming back this year, and even though this year is now extended and we don't know what that calendar means, I would anticipate nothing this year and a full startup next year with him.
Nicholas, we wish that we were social distancing and quarantining with you. Thank you for the time.
I will give you fellows both big hugs when we're allowed to again.
Cannot wait for that.
Can't wait.
You heard that, right, Danny?
That's verbal. Keep that podcast. He smells so great.
Cut that, edit that, save that, Tommy. We need that. Let's move along. Chris Russell is our NFL insider. Slashy, Cam Newton at $20-plus million on a trade doesn't make a lot of sense. Cam Newton, if he's released, makes a lot more sense. But still not something I would want to do. What about the Redskins? Would they be interested in reuniting Ron Rivera with Cam Newton if he's cut and it doesn't cost as much as his current salary?
Yeah.
All right, Russell's phone's an abject disaster, so let's put him
on
hold. Not really sure. You know,
it's
normally
like he's in the room.
Or he's normally on the Slash
Hello?
Racks.
Hello,
Rainy.
Hello.
There he is.
I don't know. They put me on hold. I was listening to El Zol or something like that, so I was connected. I mean, it's just a complete disaster.
What was El Zol talking about, or did you not know?
I don't know. I was talking to Brock for a little bit, and then Dar was supposed to pick up, and then all of a sudden you go to me, and I'm like, I don't know what's going on. Let me just answer the question. Look, they're going to take a wait-and-see approach. Maybe he gets cut. Maybe the price goes down on him. I know Chicago is talking to him. I talked to somebody close to the situation last night when I broached, like, the idea of him landing in D.C. It's not like he said, yes, that's absolutely what they're angling for, but he certainly didn't rule it out. So I'll just put it that way. We know that Cam Newton and Ron Rivera are very fond of each other. We know he has familiarity with this system. We know they have the best medical information, quite honestly, out of anybody. A new team, that's something that's important here, guys. When guys can't pass and take physicals, signing new contracts, trades, all of that stuff, because of everything going on, remember the Carolina Panthers staff all here, not only the coaching staff, but Ryan Vermilion, they know this guy inside and out. So I think if he gets cut, I think it certainly increases the chances. I think if you've got to pay even a mid-round draft pick, third, fourth, conditional type thing, and deal with the contract, I don't think it'll happen. Not to mention, look, we all know the Redskins can't absorb $19-plus million this year under their cap, so they would have to do a contract extension with Cam, meaning two, 3 years, and also then lower the year one cap number so that they could fit in Alex Smith, Dwayne Haskins, presumably, and Cam's new lower number in year one of a multi-year extension. So I would say unlikely, but you can't rule anything out, of course.
Russell, we know you. We love you. We know your favorite thing in the world is second and long after a predictable first down run. But your second favorite thing is for people to take special teams seriously. And it sounds like the Redskins did that with a linebacker that's nobody heard of. And we'll see what Thomas Davis's role is. But you've got to be super excited today for a below-the-line signing for the 52nd guy on the roster.
Yes, absolutely. Under-the-radar specials is my thing. Kevin Pierre-Lewis. Listen, he's not a great dynamic special teamer. He's going to play on all of the units, though. And for the most part, he's going to, you know, I would assume he's probably going to be their special teams captain at some point, if not like soon. Only because, remember, guys, Terry McLaurin was supposed to be this ace in a hole special teamer last year. He played three special team snaps. Troy Apke, yeah, he's got speed. Yes, he plays on all of them, but he's not always healthy. So they needed help in this area. The other thing that I would say about Kevin Pierre-Lewis is he can help you in nickel and dime packages as well. Like, if you don't like Josh Harvey Clemens in that role, he's good in coverage. He's got range. He's got mobility. He's got some speed. Now, he's a little light in the pants, but the bottom line is they need somebody probably at weak side linebacker or when you go, you know, maybe like a five-man front with a nickel package behind when you're just basically roaming one linebacker, somebody that can actually run from sideline to sideline or a hash to hash, and that might be Kevin Pierre-Lewis.
When you say light in the pants, what do you mean by that?
Graham, it's an old man's term. I know you're young, fresh, and you know, you're a millennial, as they would say, not a Gen Xer like me or whatever. So when I say light in the pants,
are you a boomer or a Gen Xer?
I'm a boomer. Yeah, I'm not a boomer. I'm a Gen Xer. I was born in 73. I'm old as bleep, but I'm not that old. But here's what I mean: light in the pants. He's about 230, right? So he's not 245, 250, and one of these big sturdy guys. But he can run, which this team doesn't have. This team just does not have enough speed and people that have a clue in zone coverages, and that's part of the reason why their third down defense has sucked for so long.
I just wrote a story that got posted on The Athletic this afternoon. I basically say, look, the Redskins are hitting singles. I want to swing for the fences. It's time to try to make a big move in free agency or a big trade. Your thoughts on the next thing they could do? Give us a name or two to look out for.
Well, I know you don't like Emmanuel Sanders, and I know the Cowboys are going out, but that's the guy I would go after because I think the wide receiver market is pretty bare, if we're being totally honest with you. I still think he can very much contribute in that Pierre Garçon-type role and also help out Terry McLaurin and still stretch the field a little bit. And I think, yeah, even though he's 32 going on 33 or whatever it is, I think he can still help you as long as we're talking about a three-ish year deal. You know, $10, $11 million per year. That's one. Number two, I would still, at this point, I have to target Eric Ebron, and I probably have to overpay him because I don't have any other choice at tight end. I mean, you could give me Tyler Eifert all you want. Tyler Eifert's hurt every other day. I mean, he gets hurt if he sneezes. So to me, I need somebody that I can semi-depend on, somebody that I know who, with Andrew Luck, had a monster year 2 years ago. I know he's inconsistent. I know he's disappointed. Unless they're going to look at, you know, I floated this last night after, you know, some Twitter conversation. Maybe, you know, Trent Williams winds up going down to Tampa, helping out Tom Brady protect his blind side. Maybe they make a trade and get a lower draft pick and an O.J. Howard or a Cameron Brate type of option. Unless they're going to do that, they've got to zero in and zero in quickly on Eric Ebron because the choices are running very slim at tight end.
Chris Russell, heavy in the pants. Thank you, buddy.
I am definitely heavy.
Heavy in the pants.
Light in the pants. Heavy in the pants.
Oh, boy.
These are things we say about people.
1245 Grant and Danny Movie Club, next right here on GND. Before we get to Albert Breer at the top of the hour at 1, Tom Brady is a Tampa Bay Buccaneer. It's very, very odd to say. He's agreed to terms. He will officially be a Buck when the league year opens up and he's allowed to put pen to paper. 2-year window for him in Tampa. Who has a better chance? If one of the two teams is going to win a Super Bowl, Patriots without Brady or Brady with the Bucks, who has a better chance to do it? Next on Grant and Danny. Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan. Welcome back, and thanks much, as always, for spending part of your day with us. Our Wednesday show continuing on 106.7 The Fan. Movie Club at 12:45, Bad Boys 2, the film last night. Albert Breer of MMQB at 1 o'clock to spin around the NFL with the latest news and notes. Tom Brady moving on from the New England Patriots. He will be a Tampa Bay Buccaneer. Brady going to a team that has gotten the worst production from the quarterback position in the league since 1976, which was year one of the Bucs. A 387 win percentage with just a 73.5 quarterback rating and a 56% completion percentage during that time. Danny, here's the debate to have now, and here's the question that we will pose on the phones, and they are wide open for you right now. Line them up, 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. Whoa, breaking news. I'm being told in chat right now.
That's right.
Let's stop the show for a moment. We'll get back to Brady. Someone should have told me. Someone's telling me that they just heard Fiona bark.
I can confirm.
Is that the case?
I heard Fiona bark.
Can we pull the audio?
We're doing a serious topic here, so I said we could bring this up later. But, I think I'm not alone. I believe Thommy mentioned it first in the chat. I heard it as well. I'm wondering if it gets over the air. What's our criteria, by the way? Is if any of us hear it or if it gets onto the radio?
Well, if you heard it, it's on the radio, no? I mean, you're hearing program. Would you hear something the listener wouldn't hear?
That's a great question. I don't know. I'm sure there's
some
science involved.
How would you hear something
there
that doesn't end up on the radio?
Maybe it's too quiet to make it on air. I don't know, but I definitely heard a bark in the background. Sounds like she was upstairs, maybe different room.
She's definitely upstairs. So right now I'm in the basement. She's in the kitchen. Now, as I said, there are no doors between me and the kitchen. So she is right now in the kitchen as we speak, pouncing around. But if you heard her bark, I know she's been barking off and on. That means that we could have an update and that the Daria Sportsbook could be going out of business.
They're dunzo.
I'm pulling the audio now. I'll review it and then have it for you.
Yeah, Thom's got to make a judgment and a ruling. This is a la Vegas on whether or not they're actually going to pay out the bet. Dar, do you have the odds? Does anyone have the odds in front of them on what it was that Fiona would be the first to actually make her appearance on the Grant and Danny radio show?
I believe that I posted Fiona -150. She was a favorite for me.
Wow.
Remember, okay. She was not the favorite for Dar.
So there's some long odds on people that are going to be cashing big old checks at Dar's book if, in fact, the bark was heard around the world. Thommy, get back to us when you can get that audio, and we can determine whether or not, by listening back, people could actually hear Fiona bark. I had Fiona in the office pulled. You sleep on dogs, Danny. I mean, dogs, they just don't know. Kids kind of know. Dogs, they really have no understanding.
Yeah, kids know and don't care, and dogs just can't possibly know because they're dogs.
But I do love dogs. Danny loves dogs, too. He just has a funny way of showing it.
Oh, Dar had Fiona +150. Oh, that was the bet. That was the value bet. The Daria Sportsbook is out of business, shuttering the doors based on this
plus
one gaffe.
+150? Oh, that's going to pay out pretty.
Dunzo.
A lot of people about to get rich listening to Grant and Danny. 2 days in, we knew it was going to happen at some point. Who would be the first non-G&D family member in our home broadcast to be heard on the air? Fiona the French Bulldog, Bill Rowland, Byron Kerr, or one of the wives. Here's the audio that Tommy pulled. Let's see. Tom Brady moving on from the New England Patriots. I think that was a very clear bark.
Can you say Brady, yep.
Can you give me a little bit more juice there, Thom? Is it possible to jack up the bark right after? I think it's right after Brady, right, Danny?
Yeah, when the word Brady comes out, you hear it.
Tom Brady moving on from the New England Patriots. Are we paying out on that, Thom?
Yep, you can come to the window. We're going to call Fiona there first to make a noise on the Grant and Danny show.
All right, there we go. I guess the odds will still be going for the second family member to make a noise since these shows are raging on.
The defending champion is still Fiona. I still think before the show ends, she makes it again.
Really?
Yeah.
You think that she runs it back?
That's a dog, man.
That was at such a distance. I'm surprised you guys even caught it.
It's a powerful little bark from a very tiny animal.
Strong bark, only about 17 pounds. Tiny French bulldog, really small for its
very
breed.
Very small.
But we were talking Brady, so we can get back into that. Here's the question I was setting up. I think we should use, and tell me if you agree with this, a two-year window with him going for probably two and about 60 to the Bucks.
Mm-hmm.
Hypothetically, either the Patriots or the Bucks win the Super Bowl in the next 2 years. Next season, let's say. Both teams, you know, fight to get into the playoffs and get bounced fairly quickly this year. But next year, one of these two teams, in season two post-Brady in New England, Brady with the Bucks, gets to the top of the football's mountain. Who is it more likely to be hoisting the Lombardi Trophy? Belichick with the Pats or Brady with the Bucks?
It's New England, and it's Bill Belichick. I mean, they won 12 games last year with a bad offense with no talent and pedestrian quarterback play. This is New England system. Whatever the theme is that year, they're going to be better than you are. It can be a year where they score 600 points. It can be a year where they don't allow you to get first downs. It can be a million different things. They can be a fullback downhill running team. They can do anything. Bill Belichick is going to outcoach you, is going to have his group more prepared. The names on the back of the jersey don't matter. Now, I'm not saying they're likely to win it. I wouldn't put them in the top five or six or seven or eight. But here's the thing. I think they're going to win the division again, despite Buffalo's improvements. And right then and there, you'll have a pretty good shot. You basically have to go through either Kansas City or Baltimore over the next couple of years, but that's one game as opposed to maybe the depth and the number of teams that are quality that Brady and company Tampa Bay will have to climb over just to get there. You look at some of the way that these groups are set up. I think they're more good teams, less elite teams, but more good. I think there's more challenge in the NFC. I just don't see them doing it in the next couple of years. And New England, I do believe, could.
The best case, I think, for the Patriots and Belichick, other than just that it's Bill Belichick and they're New England, although what does New England mean if Tom Brady's not quarterbacking New England? But the best case to say them, what you're doing, is to point to their division, which you did. The Bills made the playoffs last year at 10-6. Maybe they win 10 or 11 games and give them a run for their money as a division champion this season. 17 years in a row where every year where Brady was healthy, the Patriots won the division. The Jets are not going to be any good. The Dolphins are still a couple years away from having an actual chance to win the division. So you got one team to worry about to get to the playoffs. Whereas to your point with the Bucks, the Saints are going to be a fixture the next couple of years. And the Panthers, while they are at the beginning of a rebuild, probably going to be good sooner than I would think the Dolphins will be or the Jets will be. And the Falcons are already better than both of those two teams, even if they are not a threat. They did win the final four games of the season. Matt Ryan is still one of the better quarterbacks in the league, which means you're always going to have a chance. So it's a much tougher division. But I got to tell you, I'm actually going to say the Bucs, and I'll make the case next. And this is coming from someone who has always said that Belichick was more the reason why the Patriots became a dynasty than Brady was. But I'll make the case for Tampa Bay next, and we'll take your calls. 800-636-1067. If Brady or Belichick, without the other, wins a title in the next couple of years, who is it going to be that hoists the Lombardi Trophy? We're Grant and Danny. You're listening to The Fan. Grant and Danny on The Fan in 25 minutes. Albert Breer with the latest on the NFL, including Phil Rivers and the impact he'll make on the Colts. Teddy Bridgewater and the type of starter he will be with the Carolina Panthers, and how will year one for Brady and the Bucks go. But right now, we are taking a look at the possibility of Brady's Bucks winning a Super Bowl before Belichick's Patriots. There's a chance that neither of them will ever win again without the other. But what we're doing hypothetically here is we're saying, let's just play along on a two-year window that one of those two teams wins it all. Who's it more likely to be? 800-636-1067. We'll get to your calls in a few. 800-636-1067. You can also tweet us. I'm at Grant H. Paulson.
That's funny, Danny, for me.
So here's my thinking. And you know, Danny, I've always said Belichick over Brady in terms of importance
sure.
to that dynasty. And I still feel that way. However, the landing spot here for Brady in the NFC, which there are not as many. There's more competitive good teams. There aren't as many great teams. Like, there's no Kansas City Chiefs, in my opinion, in the NFC. I think San Francisco last year was outstanding. We'll see if they can repeat that. Look at the Rams a year earlier. A lot of times, those flash-in-the-pan clubs that get really good really fast have a hard time sustaining what they accomplished. But I see Tampa Bay, and I see how good they are in this moment. Offensively, the playmakers, including Godwin, Evans, O.J. Howard, and Cameron Brate, that they're going to put around Tom Brady. I look at a defense up front with Vita Vea and William Golston and Jason Pierre-Paul and Shaq Barrett, who led the league in sacks last year, that can get after the quarterback, and a young secondary that has a chance to be really, really good for years to come. And I see the pieces of a team that's going to make the playoffs, whether it's next year right away, which I think they probably will with another playoff team being added, or in the next two seasons. New England will as well, almost certainly, but the quarterback position is the most important position. And while I don't know if at 43, if Brady is still really good or he's just okay, I know that the Bucs will have a satisfactory caretaker who will not beat them, who is not going to throw picks, fifth all-time in interception rate, and that alone with the playmakers that they have and the defense they'll play, as we saw last year, I think will allow them to be every bit as good or a little bit better than they were when Jameis Winston was throwing 30 interceptions. On the other side of things with the Patriots, and this is the part that I think we need to talk about, because you kind of said, well, it's Bill Belichick. He's going to figure this out. It's not like they're just losing Brady. They lost Jamie Collins 3 years and $30 million. They lost Danny Shelton from that defensive line. They lost Kyle Van Noy, a linebacker. They've now lost three defensive starters already from their front seven. That defense, which carried them last season, got worse. So whatever quarterback is coming in is going to have to do more than Brady did and accomplish more offensively with basically Julian Edelman and what else at wide receiver. And Keel Harry, who can't separate, Mohamed Sanu's at the end of his career, the former Falcon. I don't know, man. I see this as like a 7-9, 8-8 team right now, and I see the Bucs as probably a 9 or a 10-win team.
I think you're underestimating what that operation has done for so many years in New England. I mean, I see your point about Tampa Bay. I'm not arguing against that at all. They've got a lot of pieces, and I think they're going to be better. I think they were a quarterback away last year from being a 10-win team. I just don't see New England falling off that much. I mean, they you know, move on from everybody, whether it's Richard Seymour or I don't know, you could pick your marquee linebacker and somehow show up the next year, win 12, 13 games. I think Belichick's that good, and that system is that excellent. Now, they might miss the offensive line coach.
But
the
Brady's always been there when he's
years.
Done that.
No, it's true, and they've done it. But the thing that I always come back to is they've done it in different ways, right? It's if it was just – you know, the Mike Martz greatest show on turf type teams, and they outscored everybody for all those years. You go, well, you take that away, they got no chance. They played ground and pound football this past year and won 12 games. They've been the air it out, beat the Minnesota Vikings scoring record and won 14, 15, 16 games. They could do it every way and have done that so consistently. Now, if their quarterback ends up being, you know, a hot garbage pile, this is all moot. But to me, they were a 12-win team last year with mediocre quarterback play. So to say that this group is done, they're going to go shopping, figure out a bunch of Wes Welkers that nobody else wants to fit them perfectly, and they'll go in the division again.
Mediocre quarterback play, but mediocre quarterback play that never costs you any games.
That's true.
Eight interceptions all year
fair.
For Tom Brady. They are about to probably, and I don't know, I mean, you throw a name at me that you like if there's a better one. But I'm just throwing out there right now, Andy Dalton, or I guess Jameis Winston would be a candidate. I don't really know. I'm just trying to think of who
switched?
Could
wow.
end up starting. I that's the worst marriage ever. I mean, that's the kind of thing that you know before it starts that it won't last. That's Pilot Pete and Madison. It just can't work because Barb's awful. But did I lose you there, or are you following along?
I did not get that reference.
Okay. Just know that I think it's a pretty good analogy, and I think you'd like it if you watch The Bachelor. But the point of the dude's story is that, you know, Brady, yes, was he just okay last year? Absolutely. The epitome of kind of pedestrian. 4,000 yards in the NFL and 16 starts anymore. When you throw 613 times, is actually bad, to be honest with you. 6.6 a pop. You know, when you look at an 88 rating, that's not great. That's basically league average. 24 touchdowns in 16 games is not that good in a pass-happy league. But there's something to be said for only throwing the 8 picks, for not killing that team. Andy Dalton might throw 6 pick sixes. You know, he might throw 14,
give him a chance
15,
to, yeah.
16 interceptions. Jameis Winston's going to throw very likely more than that. I'm not here to tell you that I think the Patriots are going to be bad. I don't. But I would say if I had to bet on either the Bucs or the Pats winning playoff games next year, I would go with Tampa Bay over New England. That's kind of the debate. 800-636-1067 is the number. 800-636-1067. Your thoughts on any of that?
Who's going to be their quarterback, though? Now, just, now you're looking at this, right? I mean, they'll go into the free agent market to get one of the Blaine Gabberts, the Matt Moores, somebody like that to come off the bench. But who's their starter next year? That's what, again, I keep coming back to this one point. When we all were sort of going, yeah, but it's Tom Brady and the Patriots. The same way, yeah, it was Joe Montana and the 49ers, right? To me, he's Mr. 49er. The same way that Brett Favre is the Green Bay Packers in the modern era. All those teams had guys waiting in the wings, which made, you know, Peyton Manning was a luxury because you had Andrew Luck coming in. You had Steve Young. You had Aaron Rodgers. There's nothing like that in New England. This is a huge risk that they're taking, not, you know, overbidding and letting the guy stay that at all kinds of leverage, not necessarily because Tom Brady's skills are that great at this stage of his Hall of Fame Pantheon career, but because there's no alternative waiting in the wings. There's no Jimmy G waiting, you know, in the film room eagerly, you know, chomping at the bit to take snaps. They got nothing right now. That's the crazy part about all this.
The Redskins are being linked to two defensive backs, a corner and a safety, that they are apparently either already interested in and talking to or have interest in moving forward in discussing a contract with. We'll tell you who those players are. They're both pretty big names in the NFL. We'll do that next. Also, our Grant and Danny Movie Club on G&D right here on 106.7 The Fan. Before we get to the Grant and Danny Movie Club, welcome back, 106.7 The Fan. Couple of notes on the Redskins, and we can double-click on these with Albert Breer at the top of the hour, MMQB and SI's NFL reporter, joining us at 1 o'clock with the latest on the National Football League. One name that the Redskins apparently in discussions with today is cornerback Desmond Trufant. He went to the University of Washington. You may remember, actually, he was an elite-level draft prospect taken near the top of the board back in 2013. He has spent the last seven seasons in Atlanta with the Falcons, was hurt, only played nine games last year, and because of that, statistically had his worst career season. But before that, 31 starts over 32 games, only missed one game in the two previous seasons to last year. He's been a full-time starter his entire career on the outside. At one point, was a really good corner in the NFC. He'd probably be a guy you bring in, not a guaranteed starter at this point, but opposite Dunbar would have a really good chance to edge out, I would think, Fabian Moreau, depending on what you paid him. And then you would have Dunbar and Trufant on the outside, Kendall Fuller in the nickel, Moreau is your fourth guy with Jimmy Moreland as your fifth guy. That's a much better corner position than they had, obviously, at the end of last year, but I would say even at the beginning of last year, Danny.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, when you've got people in the family, right, the Fuller family good at playing cornerback, the Trufant family good at playing cornerback, this could be a nice buy-low candidate if it's available there. You know, I think ultimately the Redskins have to kind of beat the bushes. Everybody looks at all the cap space they have, but once a couple dominoes fall, that cap space is going to shrink up. I think they should be looking ahead to future years, to maybe some upside signings, kind of like they've done, but maybe, you know, beat the bushes for some damaged goods. I know that scares Redskins fans, given some of the injury histories of some of these guys, and then, you know, it all kind of blows up in their face. But I think this is the right thing to do for a team that was 3-13 with a brand-new coach last year. You know, try and find some great value. Find more Eric Flowerses and slowly, incrementally try to get better instead of pushing all your chips in for eight wins.
I just got a text while you were talking, Danny, from my wife. This is what being quarantined in a house and bored brings you to pretty quickly. You ready?
I am.
A little backstory. Remember the old, "Hey, Bob, Virginia's doing great" line. So
of course.
We always call each other Bob. And so a term of endearment instead of like honey or baby for us is Bobby. Okay? So that's just a little backstory. She says, "Hey, Bobby, I'd like to buy this dresser," with a picture of a dresser that she'd like to buy. I just got that text. So that's where we are.
I thought there was a whole other thing. I thought there was like a fight or an argument
coming.
No,
there's no arguments. There's just purchases. There's just purchases things that are happening.
Now's the time to make purchases, right?
Some online shopping while you know, three of the five jobs that the Papa Bear does are no longer in existence. Might as well be a good time to buy a dresser.
Now's the time with all that cash.
Why not? The other of the players that the Redskins are being linked to, Eric Reed of the Carolina Panthers. We got to be quick here because I want to get to the movie club. We can come back to this, but just to pass this along, Reed came to fame, other than for being excellent safety for many years in San Francisco, because he was one of the main guys with Colin Kaepernick taking a knee and still kind of fighting on Kaepernick's behalf. I got to tell you, I would welcome him with open arms to Washington. 130 tackles as a safety last year, 6 passes defended and 4 sacks. He can still play. My big question, though, is he Landon Collins, too? I mean, is he redundant? You know, a box safety who just makes a lot of tackles like a linebacker? Or could he play center field, or could one of those two guys do that? That's my only issue. I could care less about any of the social stuff that people are going to be mad about. I think that's silly. You can have a disagreement with someone, and you know, he's a perfectly good human being who's a model citizen off the field. I worry if he could be a good fit with Landon Collins. But he played for Ron Rivera for a couple of years, and they have a good relationship supposedly, so get used to any former Panther coming available being linked to the Redskins.
Number one, that guy can play. Number two, you can agree, disagree. He doesn't get in trouble off the field, and he's available to play. So those are assets. That's what I care about more so than anything else, regardless of what he tweets or what he thinks. Point three, I do worry about, is he like too much like Landon Collins? I know the safety position's more interchangeable now than it's ever been, but I would really like a rangy center field type, a speed guy, to sort of pair with Landon Collins to let him operate downhill, which is what he does best. If he's got to turn and run, that's not where he's at his strongest. I need someone that can, you know, sort of cover deep and keep everything in front. I don't know that Reed's that guy. I do think he's closer in skill set to a Collins than maybe, I'm trying to pick a good example, but kind of that Andrew Jones center fielder type.
Yeah, I'm with you completely. More on Eric Reed and on Desmond Trufant as we continue on G&D here on 106.7 The Fan. Again, Albert Breer in about 10 minutes right here on the show. All right, let's get to the movie club. We're doing this every day at 12:45. We assign a movie each night. We all watch it by ourselves, and then we get together to discuss the movie the next day. You can call us at 800-636-1067 to give us your thoughts on the film. Yesterday we wanted an action movie. We decided we would watch Bad Boys 2, Michael Bay's 2003 offering, starring Will Smith, Martin Lawrence, Gabrielle Union. This is now a trilogy. Bad Boys 3 was in theater. Matter of fact, just a couple of months ago, I loved it. I saw it. It was awesome. Bad Boys 2 is one of my favorite kind of that genre. You know, just cheesy, big explosion, awesome, good cop, bad cop, and buddy cop action movies. The other thing that's great about Bad Boys 2 that I'd forgotten about that I love, I'll tell you what, the tracks that they play, the soundtrack on that movie is just so good. One song after another, they're just club bangers. They're a lot of fun. I think it adds a lot to the movie. But the dynamic between Will Smith and Martin Lawrence is as good as you're going to find in a buddy cop movie anywhere over the years. Marcus Burnett and Mike Lowry, those guys, they're the perfect yin and yang to each other, Danny. The comedy to go along with the explosions and the action, the hotness of Gabrielle Union, who's a very talented actress as well. It is a really good movie.
So this is where we will part company. This is the kind of Michael Bay after a few hits, because I like the original Bad Boys. It's well done, and it was funny, and it was like perfect for the time.
You don't like Bad Boys too?
This movie is so eye roll to me at all times. Oh. This is Michael Bay at the most Michael Bay. Like you let him run wild. He already ruined Transformers for me. But we should have known it was coming with this sort of stuff. I mean, the design and what he thinks is, let's have these guys be super cool. And you hear Will Smith answer the phone. You go for Lowry. You hot. I mean, it makes you want to puke. It's so eye roll worthy. They're in these chase scenes, and there's time for all these different arguments and the different one liners and slow mo and explosions and everything else. Yeah, you listen. You're not there to watch The Pianist. You're not watching Sophie's Choice. I understand it's a cheesy.
You know what you're getting into.
Yeah, of course you know what you're getting into. So
dialogue's
you can still
not
have fun
be
with
good.
It. Right, you still have fun with it. But to me, Martin Lawrence whining for the first basically two acts of the film. In his, like, Moe's whiny tone, damn, Gina. Like, it's just so off-putting. Will Smith is still very good, though. He's entertaining. I'm with you on Gabrielle Union. Criminally underrated. as an actress. Joey Pants just freaking out. He's in like three scenes and he's just there to yell at people. But the movie's long because, again, nobody could tell Michael Bay no at this point because he had a few mega hits. But this one to me is one of those. It's cool if it's on in the background. You could tune in when there's some explosions, but it was a tough watch for your pal last night. I was just looking at my watch waiting for it to be over. Yeah,
I give it 4 Buffalo Wings out of 5 in the genre of action movie. You give it, it sounds like, way less.
3.5 carbohydrates out of 10. First Bad Boys is a 7 out of 10. Good flick. This is one of those where they just pumped up all the stuff that wasn't great about Bad Boys, and I can't wait to move on to the next assignment.
I'll give it a 7 out of 10 if we're going out of a 10 scale on Buffalo Wings. But, man, that's disappointing that you didn't have more fun last night.
I think it's really good,
campy, grab some popcorn, kick the feet up, fun movie. Thommy, you watched last night. You played along. What do you got?
Yeah, of course. This is one of my favorite movies. I haven't watched it in a very long time. A couple quick things. Love the captain. He's one of my favorite character. Little small bit characters in movies. I love when Martin Lawrence and Will Smith come in and he turns the TV on and he goes, what about this, you know, is very tactical.
Yeah, what's tactical about that?
And, there's a boat falling off of a bridge and stuff like that. And another great scene is when everybody is joning on how bad Martin Lawrence's pool is. And then he goes, can you go can you talk with me by my terrible pool or whatever the line is? And there are just so many great lines where I agree with Danny on the idea that it's not a amazing movie, but some of the lines, and I actually looked this up, looks like Seth Rogen was like a very small writer on this movie. So it was back with Judd Apatow and Seth Rogen. They contributed to the screenplay of the movie, and that would explain why some of the jokes hit so good, but the movie, being a Michael Bay film, wasn't all that great.
Yeah, I wouldn't ever advocate for Academy Awards overall awesome film, but I think to quote what you said, Danny, you know what you're getting into.
Sure, sure.
And I wanted explosions, a couple zingers, and you get that. The actor Tom's talking about is I think it's Joe Pantoliano who played.
I call him
Howard.
Joey Pants because I struggle with the end part of the last name.
But he is awesome, and he was so even in Bad Boys 3. Obviously, if you guys missed that, it's a lot of fun. Best scene in this movie for me is when they are at the front door kind of bonding again when they're at odds, and the goofy kid comes to pick up Martin Lawrence's daughter. And then we find out in Bad Boys 3 that they're actually married with a baby, which is hilarious.
Reggie,
good call. There you go. All right, Danny, you're leading today. We got about a minute here to try to do this. We need to find a rom-com. That was the request from many of our listeners. Our female listeners want to be included here. So we're doing a rom-com tonight for the Grant and Danny Movie Club for night 3. What are we going to watch?
It's my least favorite genre of movies, so I got ones that I can probably deal with. These are all available on Netflix. Ali Wong stars in Always Be My Maybe.
I'll say yes.
Invention of Lying, Ricky Gervais.
No.
Yes Man, Jim Carrey.
Yes.
As Good as It Gets. As Good as It Gets.
Ooh, that's old school. Yes, I like that movie.
All right. She's Out of My League.
Love it, yes.
Chasing Amy.
I haven't seen that in 20 years. I'll say yes.
All right, here we go. Jerry Maguire.
Yes.
Hitch.
No.
Thank goodness. Silver Linings Playbook.
Yes.
And Failure to Launch. Matthew McConaughey and whatever name
Terry Bradshaw. No.
Yeah, Carrie Bradshaw. Okay, so that was Yes Man was a no, Invention of Lying was a no, and Always Be My Maybe was a yes. All right, so Thommy, you're up.
Okay, ready? Read them off, yep.
Always Be My Maybe.
No.
As Good as It Gets.
Yes.
All right, that's a why. She's Out of My League.
Yes.
Chasing Amy.
No.
Jerry Maguire.
Yes.
Silver Linings Playbook.
No.
Dar.
Yes.
As Good as It Gets.
No.
Ooh, She's Out of My League.
Yes.
Ooh, that looks like it might be it. Jerry Maguire.
No.
Well, that's it then. She's Out of My League is the answer.
Yes.
Oh, that's the film?
That's the film.
Okay, this is a really bad, cheesy, great comedy chick flick that everyone's going to hate. But tonight's the night, and I love it. So I like bad movies, so this will be good. What's the whiny guy's name? Jay Baruchel that stars?
Baruchel. Jay Baruchel's laughing the entire time. He's just like this.
How to Train Your Dragon and Break Up with a Girl in 14 Days.
I just don't think she's in my league, the movie.
So the name of the film is?
She's Out of My League.
It is available and streaming on Netflix. Grant and Danny Movie Club, Day 3. It's rom-com night for you and your loved one. G&D on the Fan. Albert Breer is next to talk NFL with us.
Grant and Danny.
Spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.